defense team slated to start questioning witnesses today in the civil fraud trial in New York against the Trump Organization, where the former president is accused of inflating the value of his properties. On Wall Street in early trading, the Dow is down by about 41 points. More on these stories at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us today. Let me remind you once again that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our very special guest today is Andrew Scherville. He is the founder and director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. We're delighted that Andrew could join us today. We've had a lively conversation about some of the things that has taken place in states across America, and we want to focus on what is happening in Florida. Just before the news break, we were talking about the law, the Heartbeat Protection Act, that prohibits the abortions after 6 weeks in Florida. And I'd ask Andrew that question: how did this legislation come about, and what was the part played in that by the Florida Voice for the Unborn? Andrew, continue with your thoughts on that, if you would, please.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And just to circle back, after Roe versus Wade was overturned in June of 2024, and even, in June of 2022, even before that, when the leak of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe came out in early May of 2022, Florida Voice for the Unborn immediately sprung into lobbying mode, I would say. We held a big rally and lobbying day at the state capitol during a special legislative session in May of 2022, and we were pushing for a full abortion ban. And later on in the fall, we initiated a postcard campaign to the legislative leaders so that, recognizing the new reality of Roe versus Wade being overturned, for Florida to enact the most robust pro-life protections possible for our unborn brothers and sisters. And so it was grassroots lobbying. We held a big rally, lobbying day, right outside the chambers of both chambers of the legislature on the organizational session for the legislature last November, November 22nd, 2022. And we continued publicly and privately lobbying for a bill that would significantly end abortion, or at least significantly restrict it here in our Sunshine State. You know, the heartbeat bill is something that has been talked about for many years. It was filed in previous legislative sessions prior to 2023. However, it never really went anywhere. This year it did. You know, Florida Voice for the Unborn was a little concerned, more than a little bit of concern, because it contained a number of exceptions that we found were unacceptable. And we thought, you know, it really should go all the way, like Texas and these other dozen red states have done in completely prohibiting abortion. But nevertheless, our lobbying, the grassroots from all over the state, pushed our legislature and the governor to actually file a bill, get it passed very quickly, signed into law. But as I was stating before the break, the Heartbeat Protection Act has not yet gone into effect. So it's not saving any babies' lives yet. And that's because we need a ruling from the Florida Supreme Court as to the constitutionality of the 15-week abortion ban that was passed in 2022. And that challenge is currently before the Florida Supreme Court. They held oral arguments on September 8th of this year. I was there for that. We are expecting very shortly, in the weeks ahead, for the Florida Supreme Court to issue a favorable decision on that 2022 15-week abortion ban, which would mean 30 days later, after that decision is handed down, the Heartbeat Protection Act would go into effect. So unfortunately, because of the lateness in the year right now, if the Florida Supreme Court were to rule within the next few weeks, the Heartbeat Protection Act would probably not start to take effect until early in 2024. But at least then it would start saving lives. But right now, it's not in effect, and Florida remains an abortion destination for women that are traveling all throughout the South to undergo an abortion here in Florida.
Andrew, what you're saying is, for the clarification for our listeners, the Heartbeat Protection Law has not gone into effect, not taken effect, because the court hearings on the 15-week abortion ban, and it's been the court's judges that have ruled against that, that's finally going to be heard now by the Supreme Court. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, sir, you are correct. And it's because also, you know, the Florida abortion industry never rests. They immediately had brought a challenge to the 15-week abortion ban because they want unlimited abortion. That's their goal. Mm-hmm. And so right. They can't even be satisfied with a 15-week limit.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. You'd like to ask a question in relationship to what is taking place with the abortion laws in the state of Florida and the potential for amending our Constitution in the state of Florida, I'd be delighted to take your call. We have with us today Andrew Cheville. He is the founder and director for the Voice for the Unborn in the state of Florida, and we're looking forward to your calls, comments, and questions for him. Andrew, several red states have enacted full legal protection for the unborn children starting at conception. I believe you stated earlier the state of Texas is the granddaddy of all of them. What is it about that frightens the people in general, frightens the politicians in particular, in wanting to shy away from it? I'm looking at the scripture, Andrew, in Psalms 127, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. What is it about that seemingly is not understood by our politicians today and the public in general, that to think nothing about passing and wanting to pass legislation or amend the constitutions so that it allows murder by way of abortion? What is it about the fact that we are God's creation? God created us. We're created in His image. Therefore, we're all valuable for the Lord. What is it about from conception to birth that is not understood? Perhaps I'm couching it too elementary, but I find it almost an unbelievable enigma that we're faced with, that there's such a rush and such a push for murder by way of abortion that so many are blinded. I have summarized, Andrew, that I believe it's a demonic delusion. It's an impossibility, in my opinion, to see legislators across America, red states and blue states alike, that will jump on the bandwagon with the push to murder human beings in the womb. Voiceless. I like the term, the name of your organization, Florida Voice for the Unborn. There's a need for a voice for the unborn, because seemingly that's not viewed as being important in society today. But Andrew, here's a question. On the 8th of May 8th of 2023, the Florida abortion industry launched a citizens petition seeking to amend our Florida Constitution for the right, notice how they use that term, for the right to access the abortion up until birth, because they want it enshrined in our Constitution. What is the current status of that? How do we fight it? What do we need to do? What can our citizens, what can our listeners today be charged with the responsibility of doing? I know that's a loaded 10-part question.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's some good news, because, you know, a lot of people, Christians, pro-lifers, have been deflated by the results in Ohio last week when their populace, you know, voted to enshrine abortion as a so-called right in their state constitution. There's a similar initiative here going on in Florida. But in Florida, we're very blessed in a couple of ways. Because, first off, the petition gathering requirements here in Florida are much, much tougher than they were in Ohio. So in Florida, in order to get a citizens initiative on the ballot for voters to vote on in 2024, the Florida abortion industry needs to collect 891,523 signatures statewide. And those signatures can't just be from one liberal area of the state. They have to be spread out from at least 14 congressional districts. And that's half of the overall federal congressional districts that we have here in the state. And they have to meet targeted threshold levels in each of those 14 congressional districts. So they have to collect anywhere between 25,000 and 34,000 signatures in those 14 congressional districts based on population. The good news is that as of November 9th, the Florida abortion industry is very short of their goal. They have collected a total and verified signatures by the state, so they're on the record, they're already, you know, processed by the state, 491,866 signatures. So that's halfway to the goal of the over 891,000 that they need, but they need to collect that total 891,000 plus signatures statewide by February 1st of 2024. So we're closing in on the deadline, and it's not going as well as the Florida abortion industry, claimed it would. They are getting significant pushback from the citizens of Florida. And one of the things that Florida Voice for the Unborn did early on when they launched this initiative back in May is that we went right to work. We held a workshop with grassroots advocates at the end of June, actually on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade's reversal. And from that workshop that we did in Orange Park in the Jacksonville area, it was attended statewide by advocates, pro-life advocates from all over the state. What came out of that was how we were going to combat this initiative in the petition gathering phase. And so we deemed our counter-offensive, if you will, a decline to sign campaign, because we know that the abortion industry lies and they were tricking people into signing this devilish opinion. And so we put together a decline to sign webpage. And on there, on our website, FloridaVoiceForTheUnborn.com, are all sorts of resources on how pro-life grassroots advocates all throughout the state are taking on this initiative right here and now. And they've been doing so for many, many months. And an important aspect of our Decline to Sign campaign is that we are currently circulating tens of thousands of our what we call decline to sign awareness cards. And you can see, you know, what the cards say right on our website. You can order them for free. We send them out all over the state every single day to supporters so that they can take these cards, which are in English and Spanish, front and back, and they briefly explain why every citizen, whether you're a Floridian or a Christian, they're addressed to different audiences, why you should decline to sign this evil and petition from the Florida abortion industry. And so it's been effective because what we've seen, Dr. Youngblood, over the past couple of months is that the number of signatures that the Florida abortion industry is getting verified by the state has gone down substantially. So in the last month, they've collected and verified the least amount of signatures they've done since they started in May. And they are actually on, if they keep up what they're doing, they will fall short of those signatures on February 1st. And if that happens, praise God, that is going to be a huge, huge victory for the pro-life movement here in Florida.
Absolutely. And I am prayerful that that will take place. Now, Andrew, I'm sure you're familiar with this. Our listeners may not be. Looking at a headline, Florida Attorney General asks the state Supreme Court to intervene in the process the proposed abortion amendment. Republican Attorney General Ashley Moody of Florida asked the state Supreme Court to review language for a proposed abortion amendment that would enshrine the practice up to viability, according to the National Desk. And further in the article, it says the amendment was submitted by the Floridians Protection Freedom Act, has amassed over, and it gives the signatures and the number that's needed, et cetera, et cetera. What is the legal premise, if I can use that term, that Ashley Moody is using to go before the Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to block this potential ballot initiative for November 2024?
Under the Florida State Constitution, the Attorney General has the right to challenge any citizen-led initiative in terms of the ballot summary language. So that will be the language that would appear on the individual ballots, what the citizens of Florida would actually see should this initiative get on the ballot in 2024. And what the Attorney General has done is that she says that the ballot summary language is vague, misleading, because it doesn't really spell out what the full implications of this initiative would be, which would be basically invalidating every single pro-life protection that the legislature has passed in the past couple of decades. Also, secondly, she says that the term viability in the ballot summary language is ambiguous. And I personally, having a law degree, I understand the Attorney General's arguments. I think, though, even with a very conservative-dominated state Supreme Court, that ultimately the state Supreme Court would most likely allow this initiative to be on the ballot. And that's because the Florida abortion industry has crafted their initiative in such a way that I think they're going to be able to survive the Supreme Court's review. So we can't rely on the Florida Supreme Court to throw this out. That's why it's so crucial in these last 2.5 months before the signature deadline on February 1st for Christians and for pro-life citizens throughout our state to do everything possible within legal the legal realm to thwart this initiative, and that means evangelizing your fellow citizens to not sign this petition.
Absolutely. Andrew, take a moment again and explain how our listeners can reach you, how they can get some of the Decline to Sign campaign cards, how they are to be used, where do we need to put them? What do we need to do with them? Who do we need to give them to? How do we, and you use the term correctly, how do we evangelize the process? How do we get them out? What is the best approach you have found?
the best approach is for people to go to FloridaVoiceForTheUnborn.com. On there, on our homepage, you'll see a big button that takes you right to our Decline to Sign webpage. You can find downloadable flyers to hand out, and also our email and phone number on how to contact us to get these Decline to Sign cards. The cards should be used. We have three different versions. They're geared toward different audiences. The first is geared toward general Floridians. So those are your neighbors, not necessarily Christians, but anybody on the street, anybody you know, your family, your friends, people that you know would be susceptible to maybe the pro-abortion arguments. So you want to get these cards in front of them. You're helping to educate them in the long run anyway on why abortion is so evil and why we don't want it enshrined in our state constitution. And so you would hand these cards out at public events like festivals, anywhere you have a table. You know, you can hand these out, public arenas, even, parking areas, public parks. You have to really take the initiative. Another great card that we have is addressed to Christians. And this is where you want to take these cards and you want to bring them to your fellow churchgoers at your church, and you want to make sure that they understand that there is this demonic petition going around. I mean, they're actually approaching people at rest areas. They're approaching people at supermarket parking lots. I mean, they're everywhere. You want to make sure your fellow Christians are well-versed on what this evil initiative would do, and you want to make sure that they are themselves handing it out to people in their, congregations, ministries that are, I would say, kind of squishy maybe on this issue. You want to firm them up, and so that they aren't deceived. And that those are that's the purpose of the cards. And we have 50,000 of these cards printed up. The vast majority of them are being circulated right now from Pensacola to the Keys, and they are making a difference. I get feedback actually from the pro-abortion side every single day, and I got one recently, actually on a Sunday, because you know how demonic these people are. Basically, all filled with all sorts of curse words and everything that I can't repeat on air, but she was apoplectic that somebody had handed her one of these cards. And so, they're getting around and they're making a difference.
Andrew, a question that perhaps is difficult to quantify. Do you find it easy, difficult, or just so-so trying to get pastors to address this from the pulpit?
It is difficult. It's difficult in every denomination because, like I've said, we've lived under a 50-year regime where abortion has been legal. And so, there are our neighbors, our family members, people we personally know in other areas, our coworkers that have had abortions, that have been impacted by abortions. It is not an abstract issue at all. It's something that's touched everybody. And so it is very difficult. You have to approach it in a certain way that you are always being truthful about what abortion does to the unborn child and what it does in the long term to the mother and the father and others that have participated in this, sin. So pastors, especially modern day pastors, are reluctant. They are reluctant to address the issue. It's like anything that where you're calling out where a huge part of the population in one way or the other has been immersed in the sin, either through silence or active participation in it. It's something that needs to be addressed, but we have to pray especially for our pastors to lead on this issue.
Yes. Well, Andrew, I have said openly and on this microphone hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I believe it's time pastors grow a spine, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And there are those that will talk about these issues and call them political issues. These are not political issues. These are moral, ethical, biblical issues that I believe pastors need to be responsible in warning the people, identifying the sin, identifying the cure, identifying the process and what we need to do. I've said this for many, many years on many issues that pastors are afraid to speak on. In fact, many of them still use the old cliche, well, you know, I've got to protect my 501c3. If I talk about that, that's political. The church could be in trouble. Then I've had those that will say, well, you know, if we talk about issues like this, it divides the congregation. After all, you might have some liberals in the congregation or some conservatives. We've got to walk the chalk line so that we don't offend anybody. I don't find any place in the scripture, Andrew, that says that I need to speak in such a palatable way that it doesn't offend anybody. When the word of God is proclaimed, when the truth of scripture is identified and openly discussed, it is God's word that is responsible, not me. If somebody says, well, I'm offended by it, I tell people, if it offends you, tell God, don't tell me. We need to take this down. I believe it's time the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it's time we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen on these issues that are moral, ethical, yet biblical issues. Andrew, if you take a moment, I'd like for you to go through the details, give any contact information, telephone number, email address, and again, remind our listeners how they can become involved. I believe it's imperative. I believe it's imperative that Christians hear the call and get involved in helping your organization do what God's called you to do.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Youngblood, for having me on. I encourage all your listeners to go to Florida Voice for the Unborn, all one word, .com. There you can find all the resources, all our contact information. Everything is free for you. Please get this. It's very crucial that we get the job done so that on February 1st, we can hold a huge victory rally praising our Lord for the momentous victory that he will give us. So, but we have to work. We have to work hard in the next 2.5 months. So please go to FloridaVoiceForTheUnborn.com.
Andrew, I've looked at your website, and I've looked at the decline to sign section there. I commend it to our listeners. I believe that every church needs to get a stack of these cards, place them in the vestibule, the rotunda, put them in the offering plates, in the chair backs of the pews so that the people can receive them. Because, Andrew, one of the things that our listeners may not be aware of is these people that's out there on the street corners in front of the post offices, et cetera, getting the petition signed. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, or how much you're aware of as far as what Planned Parenthood and other organizations are paying them, sometimes $3, $4, $5, $10 per signature to get these signatures, and it's a money-making thing for them, the petition signers, to get them signed up. So we need to decline to sign. And Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do because of your efforts. And I can tell you this, we're going to get the cards and decline the sign and have our people to use them, to pass them out, and get the word out while we yet have opportunity. So thank you for joining us, Andrew. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder,